Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games, of an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions, the call ID is 17702, or you can participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or if you want to, we have a wonderful audience over at twitch.tv. So go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. I keep an eye on the chat room there, and I'm more than happy to communicate with you over on the co-broadcast stream, both for co-broadcast on TalkShoe and on twitch.tv. And Lord knows the way things are going, I might just switch over completely to twitch.tv since most people seem to be over there these days. But we'll have to wait and see. Moving onward and forward, some quick news from ADB this week. They finally released Distant Armada Unity, the fourth book in the new edition, and now it's available in paper form. It's been previously released in only ebook form, so don't look for an updated ebook, but there are now hard copies. So you can get an actual physical copy, which I definitely plan on doing because I'm a nut. And to me, learning the rules via reading them on paper and having that book right smack dab in front of you while you're learning the game on the board, that is, for me is the easiest. And also for me, it's easier to read on paper form. But I always did both because paper form is easier for me to read. But of course, the ebook form, dang gone, you can't help but love the searchability on that one. You know, search for rules, look for issues and so forth. You know, what's that rule? You know, okay, look it up. It's a great thing to have, and I definitely recommend buying both. Especially, I'm assuming that you like the gaming platform, and that's one thing I do like about Star Armada. I do really like it. Moving on forward to the SFB Online tournaments, where we actually have the final round set up. So it's going to be Seth versus Andy Koch, as I mentioned last week, and actually they will be playing it this week coming up. So that should be an interesting game, a Fed versus the Wax. And I wouldn't surprise me if Andy won again, because as I mentioned last week also, he actually did a wonderful, wonderful job in beating a Fed last time. And just a quick, moving on to the SFB Online client. Actually, I'd released an update. And just a reminder, what was a part of that update? One was a fix of the T7C termo. That's the Klingon D7C. The termo is fixed. Now, when it comes to the damage and weapons on, you know, electronic version, you know, EA and that kind of thing, for the Andromeda, the TRH is now at TRHs. Also added support for the Frax AFD and missile rack. Also add a search to the add piece windows right there at the top, so you can search for anything. It'll search for the text by the text that's in the description of that unit. Also, I added a unmoved unit filter for the game control window, which is really a nice little feature to use, because then if you want to, you can switch to that mode in game control mode, in the game control window, and you can see who has not moved and who has moved. That's I think that's a really benefit for those playing in large fleets. So you won't miss any of them, even though obviously there is the fallback position, which is when you click next or any of the you click on the activity button, it will tell you, excuse me, you forgot to move your units. And it'll tell you what units have not been moved and should be moved. And ask you if you want to continue on anyway, or that there is an issue. Also, for those of you creating third generation ship definitions, now we support having a white background for the SSD box abbreviation. That's the, you know, the little abbreviation that says, okay, it's a phaser 2, it's a phaser 1, it's a photon torpedo, you know, that little there. That's the help in the cases of where we want to basically white out the background at that for that description, because of it makes it hard, that will make it easier to read for those background images where it gets really busy and you have black text with all this busyness in the black background. That'll remove that background and you'll be able to more easily see it. And hopefully we will be able to see that in some of the improvements. Now, obviously, the big issue there is everyone needs to be updating their client to this version for it to take effect. And if you don't have the latest version, you won't be able to use that definition. So that's one thing I have to keep in mind to my team. Moving onward and forward then, when it comes to the FedCom library, no progress there. Chris didn't read the email till late, so he wasn't able to get any progress on that. So the library still stays at squadron size ships at 377 and fleet size ships at 278. And according to him, I also, there's some screw ups on the fleet size versus squadron size, and I will need to fix those ASAP, and I apologize for any screw-ups in that category. And just to let you know, Chris said he is working on the X-Ships, and I will see how things are going in a bit. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, just the one, the only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, you got me. Some people, I will not mention their names, Barry, decided that, you know, instead of actually helping me out in the podcast, having a wonderful discussion with you, you know, and me, of course, he decided, you know, the debate was a lot more interesting, and just this little thing called his family he wanted to spend time with, though I'm not sure if I could ever watch the debate with my family. I'm not sure about that, but hey, that's him. If he wants to do that, that's his decision. God bless him. Have fun watching the debate and having spending time with your family. But anyway, so given that, that my game was playing in the background. But even in that case, you know what? I have to actually push the pause button. But I'm going to be doing tonight is continuation on the previous game. Actually, it's not really. Yeah. Onto the next round game. I'm not sure if I will be able to get through this whole game. We'll just have to wait and see, because actually this is a two-parter, and my guess is I'll probably be able to get through part one, but I'll probably have to leave you hanging for part two. So I'll hopefully, I know that the recording resolution sucked, and I apologize. I fixed that for the future. It was because I was having issues with QuickTime and doing a screen recording, kept on hanging. I'm not sure why. It might be solved now because I restarted my computer. So my guess is probably solved at this point. So future games will be that way. And again, it goes to show you, check your recording equipment before you start recording. But no, I have one of those people that's waited to the very last minute, and I apologize because now you have to deal with a really crummy recording. But you will at least get an idea of what's going on. You might not be able to see some of the numbers. I'm streaming this time and recording using a higher resolution here on my desktop than I've previously done. So that should help in some respects. I'm hoping that will. I will definitely be looking at it after this recording to see how that all went. So with that, I'm going to now just to let you know, this was a game against Kingzilla. That's Seth. He actually ended up being in the finals. So I'm no slouch in that I lost against him in the second round. So, now, ultimate question I'm sure that some of you might be asking me or asking yourself, and that is, will he play the Andromedan in the next Sapphire Star tournament? Now, number one, I'm going to do exactly what I did this past tournament. That is, I want to wait to sign up. Because I honestly, the first three, I signed up like that. Now, the problem with that now is that I started thinking about this a few tournaments ago. And that is that I might be taking up a spot to someone else, a player, a custer of mine, wants to play. And he can't play in the tournament because I signed up. So either I can just check to see if, at the moment, I'm just waiting to very, very late in the game after like at least 12 or 13 people signed up. If they're still flailing, finishing up to try and get those last few people, I'll sign up so that we can get the tournament started, and in that case, I've waited, enough opportune time so people can actually sign up for the tournament and therefore play in the tournament if they wish it. Now, given that, would I play it in the next tournament? I am debating that, because the one thing about the Andromedan is that I feel like it still needs some more playtest. Now, obviously, the one thing is pointed out, given that I went to round two against a Hydran, and that is that with the latest changes, the Andromedan actually has some punch. And if you've listened to last week's episode, I felt real strongly that the Andromeda needed the punch to actually have the chance, had the opportunity to get internals on his opponent. Before that, you have to get so close, it's ridiculous. And compared to every other ship in the tournament, it had no chance of getting even close to how much they can actually dish out. Now, obviously, if you play the Octopig, that'd be different. But the Octopig is a totally different beast altogether. That's also by choice. Because for those of you who don't know what the Octopig is, that's where you do something really, really, in my mind, insane. But you don't have to worry about the Andromedan. You don't worry about it. And that is, you have a win ox box with 8 drone racks. That's why it's called the Octopig, because it takes the 4 option mounts and fills them with drone racks. So it's like, why would you want to do that? Don't know, because you're insane. Now, obviously, there's also, the Bubble Pig? The Bubble Pig is actually, that one I've played. And just because I thought it was kind of an interesting ship. The the bubble pig, for those of you who don't know about some of these abbreviations for the aux box, and that is that it is the aux box with one ESG in the front two mounts, because an ESG takes two mounts and then two plasma Fs, one on each side. So, yep, Wing Anchor, yep. Iggy, yep, that it is, it'd be Wing Anchor is for the Octopig, and to a certain degree for the Bubble Pig too. It's the Bubble Pig, and is interesting. I played it once, and one thing I must admit is I liked the two plasmas, because you got speed 30 seeking weapons, in which case, especially if you get both of them in arc, you have at least a threat close in to do 40 points of damage, where you're going to definitely force your opponent to do something that they might not want to do, which is turn away. Now, as Iggy pointed out, when it comes to Octopig, your main tactic is go in, anchor them, launch. Actually, usually you launch, then you anchor them, and then you, if you can maintain that anchor after you've hit them with the first one, then you can come in with the second one, and they're in deep trouble, because you've used up all the defenses on the first round, and the second round comes in and you're dead. So just to let you know there. Okay, in the meantime, so that's just a couple of things when it comes to those, just a quick mention of the finals that will be happening this week. I don't think they said when, but I definitely saw on the discussion board that they definitely said that it was going to happen this week. Actually, you can hold on for just one for un momento. Let me just go here. It's here. I will take a look, see, just for you guys. Okay, and yeah, we had a nice discussion about the Fed with the GRAC, and how Peter and I both think it's an upgrade to the Fed. And I've already explained to you guys about what I think about it. That was probably like 3 weeks ago or so. Let me look at this. The tree is separate from the top. Ah, okay. Yeah, I agree, the tree is separate from the topic. Okay, one more. Maybe it was this one. It probably got buried. Okay, okay, they're still talking about the Fed. I'm gonna look a little more, and then I'm going to skip and just say I believe, because I'm pretty sure. Yeah. This one where Ted Faye said, oh, you should have a Fed fast cruiser with two photons and 10 phaser ones. What's wrong with this picture? For any of you, now I've been playing tournament for years, to the point where the only way to play online back in the day was play by email. Play by email, I think, is a wonderful way of doing things. I think, as I mentioned about many, many years ago, about the whole idea of SFU ships, where it's whole, because that's the one thing I love about Star Armada, is the whole idea of pre-plotted movement for a turn. And when it comes to pre-plotted movement for Star Armada, it's not that much. You're usually like six moves. So it's not like you actually I got to move that that big of a difference. Now, the crazy part about the one, the original one that I remember learning, the first game I ever played, Star Mata, it has, the whole idea was vector, deltas. You actually could add to your speed. If you went straight, you would keep adding to your speed. Now, the problem came into being that if your speed got faster than the number of boxes on your ship, but it's the amount of I think, energy used for movement, you could not turn because it required, I think, movement equal to your current speed. So if you so like this made sure that if you want to actually turn, you did not go too fast, which I thought was kind of a neat idea. And one more time. Okay, there's that one. And if it is dead, and I don't see it. I could have sworn on a stack of Bibles that somewhere in this discussion there was just yeah, I don't see it. I felt okay. I'm pretty sure that they said it was going to be this week, and that was they mentioned it this past week. So I don't see it. So I apologize if I wasted time with people for looking that up. But let's continue on, shall we? Let's go here. Andromeda versus Fed. As anyone who's actually ever played this game, this opponent, with back in the day when the Andromeda was the kill machine, it still didn't have that big of a chance against a Fed. The chances haven't changed, though. My guess is that the chances for the Andromeda to beat the Fed has actually gotten worse, just because of the batteries, because the batteries themselves have gone down, and you might have a chance. But the problem is, what a friend of mine, one John Deweese, that man called it the Kadunge factor. And you had to do the hand thing. That was John's thing. You know, because he loved playing Feds. And Lord knows, of course, the big problem is, of course, the dice. Die rolls can kill you in the Feds, and the die rolls can be life for you if you're playing against a Fed. Okay, let me just do this. I'm going to speed up to here. And because I don't want, I want to see if I can time this better than I did last week. So let's play. This is okay. Now this is TRLs here. This has been fixed in the client, so these are now TRHs. You know, 331. You know, so I wasn't cheating it. And if I recall correctly, okay, I'm just remembering this game now, but we go forward. Da-da. I didn't have active panels. Why is it taking so slow? No. Okay, I screwed that one up. Okay. Let's increase just a little bit more. Okay. There it is. I forget why I'm taking so long. So I apologize. I didn't. Okay. I started. Okay, just in case you guys missed it, I started with a speed 28, and then I decreased my speed. The whole idea was that I wanted to take control of the center of the board. Big surprise. So, and then slow down so I had the turn mode that I needed. Now, what ended up in this game was a little different than expected, okay? Yeah, that's sort of a reminder going, yeah, you know, that the TR might say TRLs when it comes to firing, but they are TRHs. Because I had not had a chance to fix the client, even though I am the client's developer. So I could have fixed it between the rounds. So yeah, I had to set up my range tracking, because it says 33 here. 33 should be like 35. It's the graininess. I so apologize for that, but you should at least see how things are going. I apologize again, because I'm doing my setup right now. Okay, he's going speed 16, I'm going speed 28. If you notice one thing, the Fed does something I've never, ever, ever expected. The Fed did a corner dodge. I would think that he would want to do the same as me. He would want to take... Okay, let me just pause this for a moment. In my mind... The goal against the Andromedan, take the middle of the board. Now, just to let you know, I've seen a person, in this case, John Stiff, back, I think it was 89. Yeah, that long ago. John Stiff was playing I remember the beard and all. And I was playing against him. He took the center of the board with his Hydran, and he went around the center of the board here. And that kept running. I mean, this is when the Andromedan was pretty, you know, pretty powerful. I spent most of the game going meow, meow, running around the board like a freaking racetrack. And he just kept on just going around the middle of the board, going do-do-do-do-do-do, keeping his front shields towards me. He kept on going boom. Now, so that, like, okay, what the heck do I do? You know? So, now, I might change my tactics these days if someone did that, because of what I would do for John is I'd come in, I'd hit, and then I'd bounce off. What I might want to do against next time is maybe hit, and don't bounce completely off, but go around this direction. Because also remember, this is the Hydran that I was flying against. And with the Hydran, just want to double check on that. With the Hydran, when it comes to the hill bores, same front and rear. So just as long as I stay at range 5, I'm okay. So, of course, he let his little bombs of doom, the fighters, fly out against me. So, we went through this turn obviously relatively quickly because he corner dodged. So, my range is around 20, 21 at this point. And I'm still closing in on him. Now, the one thing, if I recall correctly, He does. Okay. I think he lets loose with one of his drones late in this turn. I think this is where it is. Yeah, see, I already slowed down to 25. Yeah, this is. See, this is where the Fed got an upgrade against the Andromedan, because of now the Andromedan has two ways of fighting this one drone. I can try to run away, or I have to phase her down. And given the positions, I basically had to phase her down. I had no choice. I tried to run around it, but didn't have much of a choice. Okay, we're going on to next. Starting at rain 15 on turn number two. I haven't even engaged him yet. And we're already on turn two. Yeah, sorry. This is, I said between turns to actually fix the situation. So in theory, you can read this stuff. I'm not sure if you can or not. I hope that you can. Because I can, and but you know, I said I'm trying to stream at a higher level, higher resolution, so that you guys can actually read it. And I did actually just for you guys, I did something nice. Well, this week I actually spent some time working on my network here at the house, so that now I can get up to the max speed around here, which is 200 megabits. Down now, up it's around 10 to 20. So hopefully that will help with networking and help with streaming of the podcast. So I shouldn't have problems with dropouts and slowdowns and things like that. Hopefully, cross my fingers on that one. Okay, onward and forward. Okay. And pardon me, yeah, I forgot about to disable the that, which is the okay. We're gonna start coming in very soon. Again. He's going speed 16. I'm going speed 21 to start off with, because of one thing I wanted to do is actually I need to save energy. I've got three batteries. I need to save energy. So I guess that's one of the reasons why I might need to play the Andromeda some more, which is just to prove that it needs a little more power. 2 to 4 points. Four would be great. Two might be what it needs. To make it so that it has it, because of the decreased amount of batteries, it needs more running power. I generate energy. So, as you can see, okay, refer to go back to the board. There. As you can see, now he's got the two drones launched and coming towards me. Now, here is the big issue with that. That is that we've got two drones. If I can get around them and get past them, and which at the moment with my speed 21, I can't. I won't have to waste my phasers. Now, if I don't. Not fast enough, which currently I'm not fast enough. I'm going to have to phaser them down. What does that mean? Those phasers cannot be fired against the Fed, the actual ship. So that's less internals that I actually am able to do starting with, on this turn for this battle pass. So, you know, he's coming out of the corner. I'm going into the corner because I'm following him. The whole idea that I have, which is come in. I want to get around here. Now, if he turns in towards me, obviously, you know, that's good for me because then I can just run up here. If he doesn't do that, you know, I can hopefully, you know, get a rear shield here. Yeah, I forgot that there's only type ones. So I go here and I fire. I forget if I fire a forward half or a left side. I think let's wait and see. Ah. Left side as a phaser 3. So one phaser 3 fired, gets 4 points of damage, it's dead. Yay! So that's one phaser 2 of the only. I only got 6 phasers. 6 phasers on the whole freaking ship. I don't have any phaser 3s, I have phaser 2s, that's it. This is another one of those disparities between the Andromedan and all the rest of the ships. All the rest of the ships, they have phaser 3s, per se. Obviously, the LDR has a phaser G, but all the ones have phaser 3s, which is for purely defensive fire. The Andromedan has to use its phaser 2s for defensive fire. So, every single thing it used for defensive fire, it cannot fire against you. Now, obviously, that happens with other ships, too, where you're playing against a Zinti. You know, you can run out of phaser 3s real fast, you know, or it depends upon the arc. Right, and I moved up to speed 28. He turned in. I'm going down. This is range 5. Which, obviously, if the Fed wanted to, he could fire right now on my rear panels. But, of course, he's got only a 50% chance of hitting. So, I fired another one at him, the other left side, at that drone. Unfortunately, that drone, I've rolled a 5 at range 1, which means 3 points of damage, which means it lives, and therefore I have to use another phaser. And in addition, I have to sideslip away. Now, I could have used 2 phasers and just killed it immediately. The question is, of course, at that moment, would it have mattered? You know? Because so if the only way to guarantee kill it is 2 phaser 3s because of the troubles with phaser 2s. Phaser 2s, when it comes to type 1 drones, at range 1, if you roll a 6, they have 3 points of damage. So basically, if you fire a phaser 2 at range 1, all you've done is increased, obviously, the amount of power you use, but more to the point at that point is that you've only given you a 1/6 chance more. So you go from a 2/3 chance of killing it to a 5/6 chance of killing it. Now, obviously, if I would have used a phaser 2, I would have had an additional phaser 2 available to me to fire at the Fed. But, again, I'm also power poor overall, so I need to be managing my power as much as possible. So, phaser 3 is the normal option when it comes to saving energy for your phasers. and you take the chance. You figure, okay, you got a two-thirds chance of actually killing the drone, because we know it's type one. We have a two-thirds chance of actually killing that drone. And I rolled a five. So if I would have fired the phaser two, it would have killed it. But it is what it is. I missed, and I had to pay for it by going out and then, so that I wouldn't get hit by the drone. Because in theory, if I really felt like I was going to, if I really needed that phaser that much, and I don't think anyone would at this range, let's say I get the range four. Let's say I even get the range three. It's for giggles. Because I don't think I'm going to get the range two. Range two is dangerous against the Fed. Range three, what I can do with range three is I can do a maximum of 4 points of damage. So would you take, you'd rather take 12 points of damage and do an additional four? At this moment in the game, this is not the time to be doing that kind of exchange. Later in the game, yeah, you might do that. At this point in the game, no, you do not. So, moving on and forward. Yeah, this is where I'm checking on the photons, making sure what the hits are. And the 5 to 8 is 1 to 3, and 3 to 4 is is 2/3 chance instead of 1/2 chance. So I figured, that's where we're going to go. At least I figure that's what the Fed's going to do, and I want to see. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do here. Because he's going, I forget what speed at this moment. I think he's going pretty fast at this moment. I think around speed 24? Yeah, he's going to speed 24. I'm going to speed 28. He turned down towards the bottom of the board. So now at the moment, I am 4 hexes off his shield number 6. So he's fired his full load, and I fired nothing. Yeah, because that was one thing that was mildly annoying there, which is I asked Seth, call for fire or pure impulse activity? And he went, we can do either one. It's like, okay, then we'll do call for fire. And what call for fire means for those of you in the audience, and those of you, just quick reminder, that means that in that DizDev step, you say call for fire. And he didn't. And that's when I went, you didn't call for fire. So he said, they'll take it back. And I went, doesn't change anything. I will take my chance. And him not hitting with 4 photons. Because if he hits with 4 photons, game's over anyway. I mean, really it is. Because 4 photons, that's going to be 64 points of damage. Because it's guaranteed they're fully overloaded. And then, in addition to that, he's got, at this particular situation, he's got 6 phaser ones at range 4. Those are going to be all internals. So if he hits with 4 photons, I'm screwed anyway. I'll concede right there. So, but let's see what he does. And it's tell him to continue on, McDuff. Yeah, and just to let him know that no, I am not firing. Oh, I forgot the two phaser threes that he decided to fire. So he misses with two of the photons, so the 50%, which is like, yes! I thought it was still in trouble. So a total of 50 plus. That's 50 because. Oh, he did 18 for phasers. Okay, that's both phaser ones and phaser threes. Okay. Right. And see, I'm not. Oops. I'm not fully. It's not full. But he pounded my degradation there. So I went, okay, let's get a little closer now. Actually, if I call correctly, I go straight ahead. Because for me, do I get closer? I think I'm deciding whether I want phaser threes or phaser twos. See if phaser twos are just a tiny bit better at range two. I mean, infinitesimal. The big question here is the escape. And that is after I hit him. Okay, so I just, yeah, I decided, that's what I thought. I decided to go to range three. Still off shield number two, this range three off it. The next movement will put me onto his rear shields and out of my R and me out of arc. So I also declared a dizzy dev activation. So do that. And then I'd say, okay, I'm going there's opponents. Yeah, because I wanted to see what he had. Okay, me, two phaser, two tier H's, and one phaser two. Because of I had to use three phasers on the way in, because there's two stupid drones. So fortunately, I rolled well. I got 40 points of damage from the tier H's. And then for phaser two, I get an additional three because it's a range of a roll of five. That's a total of 43 against a shield number six. And I do three internals, one rear hull, one forward hull, and one left warp, which is a benefit to me. And that I knocked out one of his energy because Lord knows feds, photons, energy, not such a good situation. And then I roll DD. I won't. I go do do do. Jump. Remove my sideslip and my turn mode counters. So I'm now behind. Okay, just I'm behind him by range seven. So, and I'm a column 40. So I've got. Two more columns to go. So I got a little bit before the edge of the map. The idea is now, I'm gonna be honest here. I thought I just screwed up. In that, I thought, I wonder if I actually can turn in time but not hit the freaking wall. And I went, I might not be able to do that. And then I looked at things because okay, I got two. Unfortunately, I was able to go forward and side slip up and turn before I hit the wall. So, to say the very least, that could have been muddy ugly because actually, there is one time I was playing at Origins in Baltimore and I actually hit hit the wall. I didn't have enough energy for a head. So I actually hit the wall against the Klingon. And I survived. I didn't survive. That was actually just a quick anecdote for that. In that, that was one of those games where everybody was around us. Why? Because he started getting internals. And what did he do? He popped the panel. And they rolled some more internals. Then he popped the panel. Rolled some more next set of internals. Then popped the panel. And they were popping like popcorn. And I just see the Andromeda is going doo-doo. And this is one of those things that basically I was dead. It was obvious I was dead at that point. But I let it roll. I let it go. Why? Because of it was just pure entertainment at that point. Let's see how far this will go. Let's see, can he actually blow up my ship? You know, and completely destroy it. And of course, I forget which round it was. I think it was like the fourth round of internals. And then he missed. He didn't hit a PA panel. And then, of course, you hear the whole crowd go, oh. It's like, yeah, sorry, guys. it's over. It was fun. I will admit it. It was a bit of fun watching him just totally blowing up my ship at that point. You know, because I knew I was dead at that point. After he popped my panel, I knew I was dead. Because I was an additional 10. I think this was before the degradation rules. This is before the captain's edition. Yeah, this was before the captain's edition. Because captain's edition came out around the time I graduated from college. I went down to Baltimore for Origins when I was still going to college at Drexel University. So, go Dragons. Okay. So, you know, after turns, that would go up. He slowed down to 16. Big surprise. This was in Impulse 21. He had to slow down to 16 because he was running low on power. Now, at this point, we have no weapons. Actually, he has his phaser ones on this side, but he doesn't fire them because of it's kind of pointless to fire them on my rear panels. Now, I forget if I do this or not. Please tell me I do. I'm pretty sure at some point in this turn. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, I remember to do that. This is where I'm calculating out. What happens if I actually change my panels from reinforced to standard, which is what I'm now going to announce, change panels from reinforced to standard. After I change from reinforced to standard, that means that 13 points of energy gets released, and that all goes onto their rear panels. That will allow me to dissipate 4 more points of power out of my panels. And, well, that's about it. That's the real additional thing there because of overall, maybe one, you might be able to get 1 point difference when it comes to absorbing into the batteries, but that's going to be about it. Your main one is obviously to free up space in the front panels. That's number one. Number two, you want to be able to dissipate energy a lot more quickly. So do anything and everything you can possibly do. Now, the big question, yeah, I'm pretty T-Shore, let me see, with 13. So 24 minus 13 is 9. So I could absorb 9, but definitely I don't have enough batteries available because I need 24. Yeah. Yeah, I'd sped up the speed 30 at the end of the turn to run away. Big surprise. Now he's now tracking. He's running up. He turned so that he's going up. I went up the right hand side of the board. He first went towards the center of the board. Originally he turned toward the bottom, and he turned up, and then after he turned up. This was after I displaced behind him and ran up the side of the board. He turned up to direction F and then finally direction A. Just for those of you who can't see the board in front of me. Now we got to the end of the turn, and at that point then I have to do all my panel activity. First thing is calculate how much I can absorb into my batteries, which is, I think it was 1 in the back and 3 in the front. And then after I remove that from the panels, then I remove 1 point of power from each of the panels. Yes, 3 and 1 to the batteries, and then 6 plus 4 dissipated. The space, and then we go on to the next turn. Yeah, we're definitely not gonna get past part one. I'm just looking at the time. Okay, turn three. This is where things get a little more interesting because I have to. 3 in those, and then 2 in the into the Dizzy Dev, which so I need 2 there, and that's 6 plus 5, that's 12, 17 points of power in the front panels at the moment, and 8 in the rear panels. Now the problem is I'm range 15. And the one thing I think at this moment I was contemplating at range 15 is, is it possible for me to actually escape range 15, get to range 16, maintain that range, and so that I can drop my front panels, have the energy from the front panels go into the rear panels, fill them up, and all the excess into the batteries, which looking at now, it'd be 1 point of energy. Which I think I might have done anyway. But yeah. Range 15. On turn number 3. He's going to pin me against the top of the board here. Because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm 8 hexes away from the top of the board. I'm going to go speed 28. Hoping to. And then slow down to speed 21 because I need to save a little bit of power. And then down to speed, actually, guys, 14? Yeah, 14. The whole idea is that I needed to save some energy so I couldn't keep running around the board like a freaking nut. This is where this got interesting to me. The Fed did something I totally did not expect. He decides to go speed 8. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, go speed 8. Now, given that, I'm pretty sure what I did was I escaped frame 16 and it's and I did the toggle. All right. And I just kept on going straight up the board. And I got to range 17. And then I dropped my front panels. Releasing 17 and I added 16, so one, yes, 16 in the rear and one to the batteries. So I add one to the batteries. Yay! One to the batteries. Because I figure he's not going to fire his phaser ones at this range. If he wants to, feel free. Because of at this point, the reason why I also waited for this is because if he hits me, I can switch from standard to reinforced and block any possible internals. And at this point, I'm side slipping. The whole idea is I need to keep my front panels away from facing him, because no matter what, if I give him a down shield, he will fire. And I'm not going to pray that my luck is that good where I will maintain my TRHs. Now, there is one. I'm not going to mention that right now. But, you know, I turn at near the top of the board. I have it so that my forward panels are out of arc. The only reason I'm able to do that is because he is going speed 8. Which is like, yes, makes life a heck of a lot easier for me. Because if he would have maintained his speed, or if he would have kept the speed up near the early part of the turn, then I would have been in trouble. Right. And I turned in and I, and then I raised my front panels. And now we're near the end of the turn, and I'm going down to speed 14. He's still going speed 8 at this point, moment in time. Which is, again, interesting, which means basically he's putting all his power into two things. Recharging his phasers, recharging his photons. Because remember, the one thing about feds, that those photons require a heck of a lot of energy. To fully overload photons, that's for two turns, you have to put 16 points of energy for two turns. So 16, 16, so a total of 32 over two turns. So you can't be going very speedy when you're doing that, because obviously, for the Fed, speed 16, I mean, that key, and he's got, I think it's 38 power, so it's 37. So of his 37, 16, 20 is already accounted for. So that's 17 power after that. That's not even... He hasn't, and then if you want to recharge the phasers, which is 6, that's 26 of 31, of 30 out of 37. So you got 11 points of energy after that. So it's possible he sent some reinforcement. Now, at this point in the turn, you know, the last impulse of the turn, he decides to turn directly up towards me. So now we are facing each other. This, my friends, is where things got a little bit interesting. And I will let things run. This has to do the panel stuff. course, got to dissipate the 4 points of energy and also absorb, I think, 3 points of energy to the batteries, for it to dissipate. So that means I went from 24 in the rear panels to not much less. To like 18 in the rear panels. Now, this turn it gets quite interesting for those of you in the audience. Okay. Okay, right now, for those of you who can't see, I'm at range 8. I am 2 hexes off center line to the right side of his ship. So I'm coming down the right side of his ship with his good brand new shield number 2. Now, because of that, I decide, it took me a little bit of time to figure it out, is I'm going to displace to the other side because he just turned to direction A. And the tough part, I figured I'm figuring out how I'm going to displace to the other side. I'm going to go slow going start off with. So I'm going speed. I start with speed 15. The whole idea is that I don't want to move too quickly towards him because I need 4 impulses to actually have my fire control be fully active again after I displace. So I plan on displacing really early. And then I go from 15 to 25 and then finally up to 28. Excuse me. And I gotta figure out all the battery discharge stuff and how much energy, warp power and so forth. Reserve warp I can actually have available, because one thing that complicates things, obviously, is the Dizzy Dev. The Dizzy Dev takes 2 points of warp. So that makes things a little more complicated. So I'm going 15. He's going speed 8 again. No, 14. He's going speed 16. So actually, he's moving faster than I am. Yeah, he was surprised. Like, wow, I'm going faster than you are. He's like, yeah, you're going faster than I am. And he said, now I'm feeling not too long. Yeah. His feeling was quite right, but same time. Impulse 1, I activate the Dizzy Dev. Yeah, this was the tough part, because I had to figure out, okay, I can't go directly out shield number 2, a straight line on the oblique. Can't do that. Because then I will be too far. I'll be too close to him. I'm gonna miss my opportunity. Yep. He said, is there a roll? Is that, oh, hell yeah, there is a roll. So Dizzy Dev roll 5, so a success. Fortunately, I did not fail. That would have been bad timing. So then I moved to that location that I just specified previously, which is, it was a little bit farther away from him, like by one hex. So that I wasn't too close to him. But now I was on a shield number 6. So what does he do? He hits. Because of, he knows that he has to hit because of he just turned. And with turn mode of D, he has to go 4 straight ahead. For going forward. I will get definitely on his down shield. That was the whole point of me displacing. Was to get on his down shield. But of course he reacts by heading. which is fine. He can hit all he wants. And given that he headed, I was, you know, at that point, that means that, okay, he can't hit again in the rest of the turn unless he wants to take a really big chance. And I doubt he's going to take that big of a chance. Yeah, I said, oh, you can't fire. It's like, no, I can't fire. Not for four impulses. Okay. I'm coming. Because I had to figure out what, yeah, I did a little thinking going, okay, what do I do now that he headed? Because I didn't actually expect him to head, to be honest. Didn't even think they would actually try to hit. But he did, which is, I should have thought about. But even if I would have thought about it, what you know, that means he's used 5 points of energy for that. That's good. He used up his head bonus. That's another bonus. But the question is, at that point, what do I do? So I figured, but what I was trying to do is continue on. I figured I'm going to still try to force it so I can get, because if I can get on right on the shield boundary, because that's the beauty of the TRHs. This is the beauty of the heavies. They are an FH arc. So if I can get to that shield line, the shield line defining the two shields, I can hit his down shield. So he changes the speed. I change the speed 25. He changes the speed 12. So that means he now has a turn mode of 3. He's moved 2 hexes. So he moves one more time and then he can turn. Now he calls for fire as we're at range 4. Why? I'm not exactly sure at this moment in time. So he fires 4 overload photons. Again, he hits with only 2 out of 4. And fires 4 phaser ones. Fortunately, there's nothing in my front panels as he fires this. So 14 plus 32 is a total of 46, yeah. So I do 46 points of damage. Again, no internals. But at that point, I have to do another leak point. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention before that I got a leak point before, because then into that he did more than 3 times the amount of panels. And I was in overloaded. I went to reinforced levels, which means we remove 1 point of power, and that point of power gets translated into an internal, i.e. a leak. So it hits the center hull. This is where I screwed up. This is one of those things I screwed up. I should have been repairing center hull as I got damage. And I did not do that. That's a bad thing. Because you want to do everything in your power to protect those batteries. Okay. So he doesn't do eternals. He's got 5 points. I still got 5 points available. The problem is he's still got 4 phaser ones. This is my problem. Okay, he's gone 3. So at this point, you know, I was thinking, I'm trying to measure things out, because they're range 4. I can get to range 3, but that might be not so good, because I still know he has those phaser ones still waiting for me. You know, he's still got, I forget which ones he fired, but definitely he's got phaser ones, the 2 phaser ones that are in arc that can still fire at me, and I'm willing to bet you they are charged. Now, Yeah, so I went straight in. And then I think I size slip out at this point. Yeah, in fact, I know I size slip out at this point. I forget what happened. But I'm pretty sure I sidestep out because I still want, I don't want to, I do not want the shield number two because I figure shield number two is the one he has reinforced. And I do not want to hit reinforcement. I want to maximize my internals. So I call for fire at this range, which is range three. This guarantees that I will hit the shield number one. But hopefully I'll get some, maybe some phasers, maybe a photon. That'd be fantastic. Okay. Then I have to. Yeah, I forgot about that. Did that. I can fire four phaser twos and two tier heavies. So. Pretty sure I do all of them, right? One, two. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I decided to fire. Okay. Again, only 38 at range three from the TR heavies, and then two more phaser twos because I'm trying to mizzy them. And then he fires two phaser ones at me and two phaser threes. So he does 13 points of damage to me, which means he's got internals on me. For me, he knocked out my center hull, knocked the left warp, and killed an APR, a bridge, and a forward front half. Phaser two. I took the front half phaser two because that's the one I fired. I still wanted to fire a phaser, another phaser, set of phaser twos at him. Unfortunately, he moves. I did not look at that. Actually, the problem is at this point, here's the thing. At this point, all his phasers that are facing me have been fired, every single one of them. So if he wants to get the two other phasers, he has to give me a down shield. That's his only choice. Now, even if he turns in, if he turns directly, the whole idea is turning. To give me a shield number two, because we're at range three, I'm one hex off his center line on the shield number two side. He still is going to have problems because I'm going to keep moving. And if I keep moving, I will be able to get to his shield number one and get an additional two phaser twos at close range. So. What he does it. I forget if he actually goes straight or why. Yeah, I told him to take your time because he's a thinking. It's like, yeah, this is a tough situation to decide what you want to do. Okay, so he moves straight ahead, which means I have two choices. I think I can turn, or I can go straight ahead. Now, obviously, I want to turn away. Here's why I decided to turn away. Decided to turn away because of, I want, there's going to be two more phaser ones. Range one on a down shield. I'm not about to do that. That's a bad thing to do. If I turn in, I can still fire my left side phasers. So that's what I do. I fired two of them. I think he fires two phaser ones at me. And I do eight more internals down to shield number one. And then I think he fires two phaser ones at me. Right. Yeah, I kill the drone rack. I kill one of his bridge. I kill one of his phaser threes. You know, so I got some things. Not much, but I got some things. Right, and then he has moved his phasers. Got 8 points on his phasers. Actually, I got 7 points on mine. He got 8 points at his. Which is fine. So now he's used up every single weapon he's got. He's got no more drones. He's got no more phasers. He's got no weapons. So unless he's going to try to tractor me and use a suicide shuttle, don't think that's going to occur. Let me just go a little faster now. So actually, this is where we... Okay, we're still... We just got to impulse 10 on turn 4. So at this point, I dropped my panels from... I say that I dropped my panels from reinforced to standard levels, but then I realized I can't do that because there's too much energy in my front panels. There's like, if I release, there's going to be 26 points of energy. Then I went, forget that. I changed the speed 28. So I'm now doing my best to run away. Now he turned to direction A. So this is where I'm desperate. I've got my right side phasers facing towards him, and I'm doing my best to get to his down. I'm trying, because he's going so slow, I figured I have a chance, I have an opportunity to get to his shield number 6, which is down, using my right side phasers. If I can just get to that shield line and I go first. This is what happens though. Okay, I get to it, and then I realize I screwed up. I fire, and then I go look, and I find out he goes first. He moves next impulse. So the ship that moves first, that's the one you would move. So that means that instead of doing this, which would have been beautiful, i.e. photon got destroyed, I had to go, no, those are non-internals. And I tell him, no, I screwed up. And you just took those 4 points of damage. I think it's three or four. Yeah, I think 4 points of damage on your shield number 5. So that would have been so beautiful. Because after that, he turned in towards me. But I'm willing to bet you that he wouldn't have turned in towards me next impulse unless I actually had fired. Because for him, the best thing for him to do would have been to go straight ahead. Now, will we ever know? No, we won't. Because if I that was another one of those mistakes where I shouldn't have fired my phasers. I needed the energy, and I needed to save it. And now I'm running down the left hand side of the board, you know, like 8 hexes off the left hand side of the board, and now he's chasing me. And I did something. This is another one of those mistakes which I did. I turned to direction C at the end of the turn. I should have stayed facing direction D and run down that way. This is where I dissipate my energy and the panel stuff. So 4 plus 2 of the battery's big surprise. 6 points of energy because I got so much energy in my panels. It's ridiculous. And 6 plus 4. And this is where, actually, at this point in time, my dear people, I'm going to have to pause it here because of it's getting late. And I will have to let the rest of the story be told at another time. So hopefully I can do it next week. If not next week, maybe sometime afterwards. But I can guarantee you part two, that means after this is the part one recording. There's a part two recording, which ended pretty quickly after that. So this will give you an opportunity to think about it. Think, what did I do wrong? It's like knowing the end of the book, and then you got to go, how did it get from here to here? Sometimes it's enjoyable at least for me, to not know what the journey is going to be, and what's going to end up in the end, but how did they get to that point? You go, what the heck? How did they do that? Well, obviously you already know that I lost, and you'll get to see that. And at the moment, you see some of the, these are, most part, my mistakes are minor in my mind. Yes, they probably added up. And Lord knows, when it comes to the photons, I was fortunate. He kept on hitting with only 50% of his torpedoes. Yes, the tiny bit off. He should have hit with 5 total. If you look at the probabilities. But so I was a little fortunate. Obviously, I could have been a heck of a lot more fortunate. I could have been a heck of a lot less fortunate. You know, 2 is 2. So 2 gave me a chance to win. And that, you will see what happens at the end of the game. Now, hopefully I'll be able to finish this up. Maybe next week, maybe the week after that. We'll just have to wait and see if Barry is around, or maybe I can convince him just to hang out in the chat room and I can finish part 2 of this wonderful round 2 game, and so that you can hear the analysis and all my thoughts behind the scenes of what I had thought about tactics and strategies and things like that. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.